Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello and welcome in Thursday edition of the show. Great show lined up for you today. Glad to have you with us as we head into the NIT championship game tonight. I've never been so excited about a national invitational tournament final like I have been because the Indiana State Sycamores, who are so fun to watch, we talked a lot yesterday about what makes them so fun to watch. They will take on a very good Seton Hall team tonight in the one-game finale, and then it's the women's Final Four games on Friday, the men's Final Four games on Saturday, the women's national championship on Sunday, and the men's national championship on Monday. So Thursday through Monday, big-time hoops will be played, and I'm going to take as much of it in as I possibly can and hope that you guys will as well. But glad to have you with us. Complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. And Justin Kalen, the producer of this show, I want to bring you on right now. How about Connecticut having trouble with their flight? I'm not sure all the issues they had, but multiple issues that caused them to not arrive in Phoenix until well after 3 a.m. this morning, whereas Alabama had been there since, I think, sometime midday yesterday. Connecticut coach Hurley, he was a little PO'd yesterday, Justin.
Yeah, and rightfully so. But when you think about it, man, I don't think it's going to affect this UConn team at all. I mean, if we want to try to sit here and think about a scenario where they could get beat, it's not going to be because their plane was delayed leaving last night. So, yeah, I think all of this is a little too overblown. I just don't see how it affects UConn at all. So I don't read too much into it.
I agree with you. It is fun to think about, and you know, a little drama on Final Four week is never a bad thing. Also, people, and I'm guilty of this, but people are so quick to blame the NCAA for everything, and I think they definitely have a long list of things that are not right that are issues for them, and I think at some point, with all the changes in college sports, NIL and the transfer portal and these power conferences kind of moving into their own realm, I think the NCAA at least is limited in how many years it's going to be around in the form that it is right now. I think eventually these major conferences could form their own deal with television rights. That's where the big money's at, but obviously who knows how that plays out. That said, the NCAA also is an easy scapegoat, and so a lot of people, for whatever reason, hammering the NCAA over Connecticut's travel issues.
Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately I'd agree with you on your assessment that it does seem like the NCAA days are numbered, and they have had a number of issues, whether it's in the men's tournament or been in the women's tournament. But I'll reiterate it again. I do not think this is one of those issues. Now, if it was 48 hours later and, say, UConn was supposed to get there on – say Friday morning, Friday afternoon, and they didn't end up getting there till very late on Friday night, then I think we've got some problems. But here as it stands now, they're still going to have a couple days to get acclimated. They're going to be able to get used to the time change, all that stuff. So I don't know. I mean, you can blame the NCAA in this situation if you want, but it seems like it was corrected pretty quickly and they were able to get there yesterday. So that's what it comes down to. And that's the importance of this all. They got there the day they were supposed to be there. Were they there the time they were supposed to be there? No, but they still got there the same day that they were supposed to. So I don't see any big deal in all this.
Yeah, hey, a little drama for the favorite. Maybe maybe it does make the semifinal game a little closer.
Maybe, yeah.
Who knows? Mr. Producer, will you be watching the Indiana State Fighting Sycamores tonight bid for an NIT championship at Hinkle Fieldhouse.
I will be, yes. I haven't really paid a whole lot of attention to the entirety of this NIT tournament, but looking at this matchup tonight, you've got Indiana State, you've got Seton Hall. Both of those teams were arguably the first two teams left out of the big tournament, so hats off to them getting to the NIT championship and proving that, hey, maybe they really were worth a look when it comes to the big tournament. So two number one seeds, I think it should be a really fun battle tonight. It's pretty different playing styles with both of these teams, but it should culminate in a great clash here tonight in the championship.
All right. Thank you very much. Let's look at the show lineup for today, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, in just a moment, we'll transition into some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Later in the show, it's Thursday, so Alex Bozich will be with us of InsideTheHall.com, one of the premier IU basketball websites out there. We'll talk transfer portal and some official visits and more with Alex when he's with us a little bit later today. And then Steve Kerberg, former head coach in the area, great friend of the show and high school basketball in our area, will join us in the last segment today. We're in off-season mode now for the first time in a number of months, and we'll talk a little bit about the IBCA convention for high school coaches coming up later this month. We'll talk about some of the off-season opportunities for players and various things that happened this time of year. So Coach Kerberg with us a little bit later in the show today. And that's the lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Check them out today for salads and soups and sandwiches that are all made fresh daily, and they'll surely satisfy any craving you have. You might even find something else to take home, as they have a variety of dinner packages. Give Honey Baked Ham in New Albany a try. I think you'll be glad that you did. Thornton's text line is open. Take your phone out, open up the text message screen, type in 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450, and you can sound off or send us a question or send us really anything you want to talk about related to basketball or local sports, whatever it may be. We'll get it on the air. And sign up today for Thornton's Refreshing Rewards, and you'll receive 25 cents off per gallon, plus great weekly fuel offers that you just can't pass up. Download the Thornton's Refreshing Rewards app today on the App Store if you got an iPhone, or for Android users on the Google Play Store. You can find the Thornton's Refreshing Rewards app. And again, the phone number is 502-414-1450. Let's look at some Hoosier headlines today, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. A number of transfer portal items to mention, and some of you probably catch this stuff online or on social media, so I tried to zoom through it pretty quickly, but give you a summary of what's going on out there. Drexel transfer forward. His name is Amari Williams, and he sure sounds like an intriguing prospect in the portal right now. He is working to set an official visit with Indiana. It was reported by Pigs.com, and he will be there April 20th and 21st, I believe, is the dates that he is planning to be in Bloomington, I should say, for the official visit. So he has emerged as a real name of interest. Also, we mentioned this name yesterday as we were closing out the show, but Cannon Carlisle from Stanford he's a guard, is entering the portal or has entered the portal, and he was interested in Indiana. He listed them from the very get-go, but he also is going to be on campus April 19th through the 21st. So there'll be some overlap, I believe, with Amari Williams from Drexler. But Carlisle, a very intriguing player. He's rated as the number 7 overall transfer and the number 1 combo guard transfer, according to 247 Sports. How about that? They are now ranking available transfers in the transfer portal. Carlisle is 6'3", 185 pounds, and this is a little different as well. He's got 3 seasons of eligibility left. He was a top 50, top 60 recruit coming out of high school, but he definitely is a name to add to the IU radar. And then Stetson transfer, Jalen Blackman, who's an in-state guy. Obviously, the Blackman family, a lot of connection to Indiana University over the years with some of his brothers, and obviously a big player, a big name in our state when it comes to high school basketball. He has announced that he is going to go through the NBA draft process but keep his name in the portal. He's going to sign with Scott Nichols of Rise Management. He was an all-conference guard, and he's heard from Indiana, Kentucky, Kansas, Northwestern, Xavier, UCLA, Butler, and the list goes on with other Big Ten schools and other Power Five schools as well. So it will be interesting to see. He's a big scorer, what Indiana does with him, and if they're able to get in a good position with him and get him on campus as someone coming out of the transfer portal. But a lot of names circulating right now, and I just saw this one before we came on the air. I don't have any confirmation on details or how serious this is, but Indiana has been in contact with Adu Thierro, from Kentucky, who announced he's going to transfer and is in the portal as well. And I know Thierro has heard from a ton of schools. I saw Jeff Perzello of ESPN with the tweet. But Indiana is one of the schools that has reached out to him. So that's just some of the newer names. Obviously, Leland Walker and Connor Hickman. And there are other names we've been talking about now for the last week or so that Indiana either has had visits with or is working to reschedule or set up visits with. Just a lot of activity right now, and that's what you would expect this season of the transfer portal. And for a school like Indiana with six scholarships open right now, obviously they're going to be very active for sure. There's no question about that. One interesting thing, Tom Crean appeared on a radio show in Kentucky, I believe it was yesterday, and I was reading some of his quotes from the show. He said that Coach Cal at Kentucky back in 2014 tried to help get an IU-Kentucky game set up at least every third year. He worked to get Indiana invited to the CBS Sports Classic, which I believe is still around. It always includes Kentucky, North Carolina, and UCLA. And had Indiana jumped at the opportunity to do that, at least once every third year they would have played Kentucky. Obviously, we know next year the Kentucky-Indiana rematch, the rivalry game is coming back. I know there's a lot of people excited about that. But Coach Crean said on this radio show yesterday that Indiana's administration was not in favor of that because it's the same weekend, it's the same dates as the old Crossroads Classic, which involved Purdue, Butler, and Notre Dame, all in-state schools. So I think he even mentioned, you know, could they not have worked to change the dates of the Crossroads Classic so Indiana could have participated in both? But that is interesting because we've always thought it was probably Coach Cal that kept the series from happening in any format. We know he didn't want to come back to Bloomington. But it does sound like he tried to make some amends on a neutral situation with the CBS Sports Classic. So I thought that was a little interesting tidbit going back in time. But one thing is for sure, that game is back on the schedule. And let's hope that no matter what happens with conferences and TV rights and other opportunities to play, that the Indiana and Kentucky game is not ever lost again. I know it's, what, three-year series, four-year series maybe right now. Let's hope that's something that just continues to roll over and stay put as an important piece of our basketball, college basketball landscape here in Kentuckiana. One other thing as well, a local note, Hoosier Basketball Magazine saw my old friend Kip Westner at the state finals on Saturday. He's keeping the magazine rolling after the passing a few years ago of Indiana basketball legend Gary Donna. He sent out the top 60 workout invitees, which it's this Sunday, April 7th at Marion University. Good to see some locals. Kasem Nash of Borden, who had a terrific career playing for Coach Nash. His father, a big scorer, was Nash. I know he's looking to play some college basketball. He'll be at the top 60 workout. Also, Noah Lovin of Providence, who had an outstanding high school career for his final 2 years here in Southern Indiana. He will be at the workout as well. Top 60 workout this year is probably going to be as important as it's ever been in recent years. There was a time years ago where it was basically like a tryout for the Indiana All-Star team. That's changed a little bit. A lot of it's kind of predetermined. You basically know the best of the best. But this Indiana All-Star class isn't the strongest. There are some key players, but once you get 3, 4, 5 in, I mean, it's kind of a free-for-all. So I think the top 60 workout will really be an opportunity for some of these players to showcase their abilities. And then for Nash and Lovin, they're going to get to play in front of some small college coaches, which is going to be really good for them as well. So nice to see that honor for two locals, Kasem Nash of Borden and Noah Lovin of Providence as well. And I want to mention Trace Jackson Davis before we head to commercial break. break. What a season he is having for Golden State. He has played in 61 games, averaging 7.6 points, 4.8 rebounds, 1.1 assists, 1 block, and 15.8 minutes per game. He's become a big part of Golden State's operation as a rookie, and I think is really recognized as one of the great gets out of the NBA draft in 2023, where he kept going later and later and later, and you wondered if he was going to get picked, and I'm sure he had some nervous moments as well. But great to see TJD find his way at Golden State, and he's playing right now and fitting in right now like a guy that's going to have a lengthy NBA career, which is really exciting for him. And he's continued to be a good supporter of Indiana on social media with recruits and others, and he always is sharing the good word about Coach Woodson and the development that he helped him with to probably get his game more ready to be an NBA player based on Coach Woodson's experience as a player and coach in the league. And now you see Kal-El Ware. I was reading a story on the NBA draft. This is a poor NBA draft coming out of the McDonald's game. You know, people are already excited about some of those players, which is still a year away from their eligibility to be drafted potentially. Whereas guys in this current draft class, it's just not moving the needle much. So Kal-El Ware could maybe work himself with some good workouts and some good things here in the offseason as he gets ready for the draft. He maybe could work himself into a first-round pick because he's getting better, number one. But number two, it is just not the strongest of draft classes out there. So I think that will be interesting to follow as well. Thornton's text line is open, 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. To a commercial break we go. Back with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. We'll get into the portal and some of the names and visits that Indiana has set up. And, of course, we'll talk a little bit about this weekend's Final Four and National Championship games with the women's finale set for Sunday, the men's game set for Monday night. Going to be a great weekend of basketball coming up here ahead. Stay with us. You're listening to a Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
You know, a basketball hero around here is treated like a god.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
You know, most people would kill to be treated like a god just for a few moments.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back on this Thursday show. Thornton's text line is open, 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall is with us Thursdays in this segment as we talk the very latest year-round on Indiana University basketball. And right now, Alex, it's the transfer portal that is moving the needle. Indiana has 6 scholarships open and a number of guys that are lining up visits to Bloomington. And I think it's going to be really interesting and maybe telling over the next month, month and a half or so, on where Indiana goes with the portal, what type of players they are able to bring in. And I think behind the scenes, we all know that so much of it is being driven by NIL money and opportunities for these student athletes that might want to come play for Indiana.
Yeah, it's really just getting started, Matt. I mean, we're, I think, my math's correct now, 17 days into the 45-day window for entering the transfer portal, and we're just now starting to hear, obviously, about some visits that are being set up, and we've already been tracking some of the names that Indiana's been involved with from a transfer portal perspective. So it's really going to be fascinating, I think, as you mentioned, through the end of this month and likely into next month, and hopefully wrapping up by the end of May or so in terms of how Indiana fills out the roster for the rest of the season. I think it's going to be important that they address, obviously, some key needs with the roster. They've got several holes to fill, but they've got a pretty good start with, you know, 7 players already committed to be on the roster next season, if you include Bryson Tucker, the McDonald's All-American, that committed, I think, since we last talked, Matt. I think it was a week ago today or so that he made that commitment to the Hoosiers, like that afternoon after we had our regular segment. So it's pretty hectic time, I think, in general, just in college basketball, because of all of the movement and guys entering the portal and college coaches trying to build their roster for next season. So there's a lot of uncertainty, I think, with rosters, but I think it's important to remind people of how a lot of IU fans ask if, you know, if there should be any concern that Indiana doesn't have a transfer portal commitment yet. You look around the country, there's not a ton of guys that have already made the decision. It's still relatively early, and with the dead period starting today, where college coaches and prospects can't meet on or off campus now for a period of a week, you may see a little bit of a lull here in terms of activity for the next week or so, and then you're going to see, I think, middle of April to close out the month, a ton of visits and a ton of commitments start to happen.
Talking with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. Alex, I was at the state finals over the weekend, so around a lot of basketball people that are far more connected to what's going on in Bloomington than me. And there seems to be a sense that Indiana has some really, really big dollar amount of NIL money when you put it all together through the different collectives and opportunities that are out there. And I know there's no official way to track it, or it's not public record necessarily like things are in government or at public universities. But do you agree? Do you have any sense that Indiana is really got a prime opportunity with NIL monies this offseason to lure in some transfer portal players or potentially more 2024 recruits?
Yeah, that's been the talk. I mean, Indiana's has always had a robust NIL, offering. Obviously it's not directly through Indiana. I think it's important. A lot of people like to say, this school has this. It's really the collectives that have the collectives that support IU, the collectives that support Louisville, support Kentucky. Those are the ones that are actually making the NIL deals. It's not like a deal is brokered directly through Indiana or any other school. But yes, the collectives at Indiana are definitely, geared up, I think, for this spring to be to have a big spring in terms of the portal and what they're able to offer. And, I think we talked about this a little bit last week, Matt, when you asked about just the amount of money being thrown around. I don't think that's something that's really ever going to become public in terms of being able to search, but you hear numbers, and it's there's a lot of money in this at this point, not just for the guys that are returning and coming back, but for the guys that they're going to add. And there's the schools that are most successful in the portal for the most part this spring are going to be armed with pretty big NIL budgets, and Indiana's no different. I've heard that they're among the top schools, maybe one or two in terms of the Big Ten and NIL, and I would expect them to be in that same category here as the spring recruiting season begins. The one thing, to caveat that with is, there's going to be a lot of schools that have pretty robust NIL budgets. It's not going to, I don't think, come down to exactly that for everybody. I mean, it's, unless you're, completely blowing away another school's offer. I mean, I think there's also going to be things that kind of look that guys look at as well. And just in terms of, what they can offer from, a campus perspective, basketball, other opportunities in terms of, what a kid's looking for beyond NIL. I think a lot of the offers are probably going to be pretty similar for the top guys in terms of money, but I think there's going to be some other things that it comes down to as well. And I think style of play and coaching and all that definitely plays a part as well.
Alex, I'm curious, maybe use Alabama for an example, or if there's another team in the Final Four you want to talk about, that's fine. But what can we learn about Alabama and some of these teams that have had success this year in the tournament, and how they were able to use the portal last year or in recent years to maybe completely overhaul things? And I think Alabama is the best example of that out of the four teams in the Final Four this season. But I think Connecticut, even from their national championship team a year ago, highly used the transfer portal to immediately rebuild.
Yeah, I mean, there's different numbers and stats and research out there so far that you can look at. There's some that says the majority of the teams that completely overhauled their roster with the portal maybe weren't as successful. I think having a mix of both solid returnees and then impact portal guys is the best chance to have a successful season. And from an Indiana perspective, bringing back you know, Malik Renew, Trey Galloway, McKenzie Mbako, that's a pretty good nucleus to bring back in terms of production, and they're going to return plenty of production from last season. And I think that the missing piece, obviously, is getting some guys at key positions like point guard, and then obviously they need a big man and some shooters. So, you know, I think there's been some things that have been put out there just in terms of teams struggling with a complete overhaul in the portal. And I do think that's true in many cases, but from an Indiana perspective, the fact that they're bringing back so much, I think they've got a pretty good opportunity to put together a solid roster if they can bring in the right pieces. So, there, as you mentioned, there's some examples. I mean, NC State is a team. Obviously, they're not really the best example, and I don't think it's an example that Indiana would want to aspire to. But they obviously brought in a ton of new pieces, and they've had this magical run to the Final Four, but, you know, people also forget that they had to have a lot of breaks go the way just to even make the tournament. So I don't necessarily think that's something to strive for in terms of the regular season success. But I think the best teams moving forward in college basketball are going to have strong, you know, 3 to 4 year players that they can keep in their program and develop. You know, Trey Galloway is an example of that. Malik Renew would be an example of that from Indiana. And then also supplement it with guys from the portal who are able to kind of fill specific needs. And that's really the whole key to this next season being a productive one for Indiana, is can they find guys at these key positions that can come in and make an impact? And we'll see that play out here over the next month or month and a half.
Talking with Alex Bozich of InsideTheHall.com. Alex, I'm assuming you'll know this, maybe not, but I believe NCAA rules, and I'm just kind of paraphrasing here, are that the coaches and the school directly cannot tell a potential recruit, hey, here's your scholarship offer, and we want to offer you X thousands or offer you this NIL deal. It's supposed to be done separately from that by maybe people not directly associated with the school. Again, that's what the rules are, but we know how rules in college sports and the NCAA historically go. Is that fair? Is that correct that coaches technically aren't supposed to intertwine the two?
That's my understanding of it, but also, as you mentioned, Matt, the term rules can be used in, you know, parentheses here, or quotation marks, however you want to say. I mean, it's foolish to think that these collectives aren't letting it be known when a kid comes on campus kind of what the opportunities are going to be for them. So, you know, maybe it's not something that the head coach or the coaching staff talks with directly, but and I'm not talking specifically about Indiana in this case or any other school. I'm just saying in general, it would be naive to think that these conversations aren't happening during visits or during recruiting calls, Zooms, where collectives are involved and are able to kind of tell what the opportunities are. I mean, that's just how it's done. I mean, I'm sure in football it's even more, you know, a bigger deal because the money there is probably even bigger, but you know, in terms of the rule, the specific rule, it's not supposed to be tied to a scholarship offer. You're right, and it's not really, I don't think, supposed to be discussed by the school itself. It's more, that's more on the collectives. But a lot of these things are so intertwined now that it's just one big, huge machine working together and a lot of moving parts. And the one thing that kind of makes it all is more so difficult to follow everything is it's also happening in such a short period of time. And there's so few resources in terms of players that specific schools want to fill a need, and so many different schools that want these players, that the money is just going up and up because that's kind of how, you know, the open market works. I mean, if there's a scarcity of resources and there's a ton of demand, then the price goes up for anything, and that's exactly what you're seeing happen here with NIL and the transfer portal.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, our guest. Let's talk about some of the names that Indiana has either met with, visited with, or maybe there are some visits forthcoming. I know one of the names people are really interested in is Connor Hickman, a former Bloomington South standout who's been at Bradley. He has 1 year of eligibility left, and I think the big attractive thing about Connor Hickman is he's a great three-point shooter. He always has been, going back to his high school days playing for J.R. Holmes. That obviously is an area of concern, of need for this Indiana team moving forward. Any update on Hickman, how the in-home visit went with Coach Woodson, and maybe who some of the other really big suitors are for him and his services next season?
Well, I think Rab Johns had the other day that Indiana had an in-home visit with him. You know, I've never heard very often of a recruiting visit going poorly, whether it be an in-home visit or a campus visit. So I'm going to assume that this was just like most visits where it was, you know, these guys are salesmen. They come in and they talk about their program. They talk about the positives. And generally, I've been doing this a long time. I don't think I've ever talked to a recruit or anybody involved in recruitment and said, well, that visit really was not productive, or we didn't learn anything, or we didn't get anything out of it. In terms of the other schools involved with him, you know, you hear Cincinnati a lot as a school that's been mentioned with him. But for the most part, until these guys put out an official list, you know, you assume that a lot of schools are still reaching out and trying to set up visits. I know Kansas was a school that was mentioned, somebody that talked to him. You know, I think with his profile, what he shot from three-point range last season, and you see the success of the guys from the Missouri Valley Conference that were able to move up and have success at the high major level, particularly in the Big Ten with Marcus Damask and Lance Jones going over to Purdue, and Ben Cricke, who came over going to Iowa. You know, there's some data now that shows that the Missouri Valley players can come in and make an impact. And, you know, he's a guy with 1 year to play. My understanding is he wants to go to a place where he's going to have a chance to win at a high level. You know, Indiana obviously didn't play particularly well last year, so I'm not sure how that's going to focus our, you know, factor into his decision. But, you know, I think Indiana is going to continue to recruit him and try to be a factor for him. And I think he'd be a terrific addition because he's a very cerebral player who understands the game, can shoot the ball from the perimeter, and would make a really strong impact, I think, on the offensive end. Defensively, I think obviously there'd be some challenges there in terms of guarding in the Big Ten, moving up a level from the Valley. But I think he's a guy definitely to keep an eye on from an Indiana perspective.
Alex, we got a text on the Thornton's text line, 502-414-1450. Texter says, do all players on a team's roster get some NIL money, or is it just the top players? I think at Indiana, Alex, I'll let you answer this, but I think it's going to be everybody gets something. At smaller schools, it may just be the better players. But how would you answer that from Indiana's perspective?
Yeah, my understanding is everybody going probably down even to the walk-ons has some kind of NIL arrangement or deal, or, you know, obviously there's different, you know, it kind of works like anything else, you know, a job or, you know, a professional thing. Like the players who are typically the most productive and the most in demand are going to get more opportunities than the people on the lower end of the totem pole. But yeah, my understanding is everybody, at least for sure the scholarship players, and I think even going down to some walk-ons, are going to have NIL opportunities at a place like Indiana. And that's the same thing going to be at, you know, all of the major college basketball programs. There's going to be opportunities for everybody to do something, whether it be, you know, something as small as some Instagram posts or some social media stuff, and, you know, going to in-person events and meeting people and signing autographs, things like that. You'll see those things pop up on social media from time to time. And, you know, that's one reason why if you're an Indiana kid, it's appealing to go to Indiana, because it's not just the, you know, the McKenzie Mbakos and the Malik Renew. I mean, look at a guy like Anthony Leal, all the stuff that he's been able to do from an NIL perspective, and his on-court production hasn't been huge, but from an NIL perspective, he's really been able to have a solid presence there in Bloomington.
Alex Bozich inside the hall. Alex, final question. The Tennessee women's basketball job came open over the weekend or earlier this week, and I saw Terry Morin's name listed as a potential candidate. Nothing for sure. Didn't mention that she had been contacted or that she was definitely interested. But given her commitment to IU and her connection to our state, do you think she would consider a job like that, or do you think she's pretty locked in Bloomington?
You know, I don't pretend to know what Terry Morin's thinking, but from my perspective, it feels like to me that Indiana is going to be the place she wants to be. They've obviously shown a huge commitment to her in terms of her salary, bringing it up over the years, and she's done really well there. And I think at Indiana, she's the coach until she no longer wants to be the coach. At a place like Tennessee, it's just different pressure, and I think most of the things you've heard so far with that job, a lot of signs pointing to Carol Lawson, who's the coach at Duke and I think played at Tennessee, and there's a lot of people that think that she might be the first call. And it'd be her job to turn down. So, you know, obviously that's one of the more prestigious programs in women's basketball and has been for a long time with what Pat Summitt was able to do, and they want to get back to the top of the sport. But it would be very surprising in my mind that if Terry Moran would seriously consider even looking at that job. I think she's somebody that you can expect to see in Bloomington for the foreseeable future, and hopefully she'll retire as the Indiana coach.
Yeah, it'd be great. Alex Bozich inside the hall. Alex, as we let you go, you still got Connecticut winning on Monday night?
Yeah, until somebody shows they can, you know, they were the champ last year. They've played the best so far, and, you know, we'll see how what it looks like. I mean, obviously Purdue's got to get through NC State, and a lot of people keep wondering when's NC State going to lose. Anything seems like it can happen with them at this point, but I think a lot of people are looking forward to potential of a UConn-Purdue matchup and what that might look like with Zach Edey against Klingon down in the post. I think that's something people have talked about for the whole season and wondered what it would look like, and I think that's exactly what we may see on Monday night.
Absolutely. Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, InsideTheHall.com, at Inside the Hall on social media. Alex, as always, thank you. We'll talk again next week.
Okay, thank you, Matt.
All right, we'll head to a commercial break. As we do, I want to remind you some great high school basketball starts today in Indianapolis. In fact, it's all going to be played at Brownsburg High School. It's the Chipotle National Championships. Now, there's no IHSA teams. A lot of states don't allow teams to go to this, but some of the national level teams that travel a lot, the Montverdes, the Prolific Preps, schools of that nature, they will be there, and a lot of good young talent as well that is uncommitted that Indiana could very well be interested in. A lot of McDonald's All-American players from the other night will link back up with their high school team and have some opportunity to play with the national title on the line. One of the players, the younger players of interest, is Carmelo Anthony's son, Kian Anthony, who I believe Indiana is very much involved with in the 2025 class. We'll head to a break. We're back with Steve Kerberg, a little high school basketball here in the offseason, right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back on this Thursday show. We're headed into an NIT championship game tonight. Go Indiana State. They will take on a, I think, very good Seton Hall team. Both of those teams definitely were left out of the tournament. I wish they would have been at least in the first four of the NCAA tournament, but it should be a great NIT finale tonight at Hinkle Fieldhouse. And that place, with the Sycamore fans, the way they back this Indiana State team and coach shirts, they will be rocking. It will be rocking tonight. And I think it's going to be real interesting to see, win or lose for Indiana State, if Coach Schertz makes some sort of announcement of what we all expect, that he is going to St. Louis, which there's been rumors because of the Louisville job that he had an MOU, memorandum of understanding, that at the conclusion of the Sycamores NIT campaign, he is headed to St. Louis. That may be why he was not offered or accepted the Louisville job. We'll probably never know the full truth there, but nonetheless, we hope Indiana State plays well tonight. They've been fun to watch here this month of March and really this season, but we'll hope they can win an NIT championship and tie the 33-win record that program has when Larry Bird was a player there, and Indiana State lost in the NCAA championship game to Magic Johnson and Michigan State. Steve Kerberg with us in this final segment to talk a little high school basketball here in the offseason. Steve, it's always a letdown when the basketball season comes to an end, and as fun as it was to be in Indianapolis for the state championship games over the weekend, I knew that as those games wrapped up, high school hoops is on the shelf, at least for a little while.
I agree. It's a kind of a sad time. But from a coach's perspective, at least in high school, I'm sure, obviously in college too, it just turns around so fast. And, you know, you start your spring workouts, your weightlifting, and now you're allowed, you know, time in the gym with your players. And then you have summer basketball, and, of course, a lot of players mix AAU in with that, and it just it's all year around, man. And that's the dedication a lot of these athletes are showing. Of course, you have some of these young men and women that play a lot of other sports, but you have some kids that devote basically all year to their craft, and you can see you know, in every sport, kids that put a lot of time into their craft and how it translates over to the season.
All right, Steve Kerberg, our guest. I got a number of quick hitters. Let's move through these quickly. Number one, new classification numbers released by the IHSA earlier this week. We should get sectional alignments here in the near future. Anything stand out to you locally as far as movements up or down or because of the success factor?
I think, you know, Henryville moving down to 1A, that's obviously going to shift the local 1A sectional around. It'll be interesting to see if West Washington stays in the local sectional, or maybe if New Washington moves back into to our local 1A sectional. And 3A, you know, Jennings County moving down and Brownstown moving up to 3A. I just think across the state, locally and across the state, 3A got a lot tougher. You have Cathedral, Indianapolis Cathedral moving down to 3A, and you know, Brownstown's going to be good again, even without Venter. They're going to be really good again next year. The 3A, I think they probably are affected the most locally and perhaps throughout the state.
Steve Kerberg with me. Let's continue on. Coaching changes here in the off season. We had a couple girls' jobs, Providence and Floyd Central, come to mind that came open a few weeks ago. And on the boys' side, I know Madison and Austin and West Washington, and I'm trying to think of anything else that's open right now. Do you think it'll be a slow year or a lot of jobs open here this off season?
You know, every time you think it's going to be a slow year, then you're kind of surprised, I feel like. And across the state, again, it seems like every year there's between 70 to 100 openings. That might be a little high, but, you know, at least 50 to 75 across the state that come open every year. And sometimes that creates a domino effect, too, with coaches moving to new spots. But locally already, Austin, Madison, you know, West Washington was kind of surprised. The coach was only there for a year. They have a very talented group of young players there, so you know, and Austin also, you know, here they have some good middle schoolers coming up, and it'll be interesting to see if any coaches from this area maybe step into those positions.
Yeah, definitely. Steve Kerberg joining me today. Early thoughts on next season. There's nothing like way too early rankings or predictions for next year. I think we both would agree that Jeffersonville is going to be right up there at the top of the heap in 4A basketball next season. Do you agree with that? And any other quick thoughts on next season as we sit here with this season just coming to a close?
Well, as we close out this season, we were kind of – it confirmed on what we already knew, that Southern Indiana basketball is really good. And the coaches, the players, just think about all the state championships the last couple of years with Borden and Providence, Silver Creek with two, you know, New Albany, probably forgetting a few, but man, we've seen a lot of state champions, Scottsburg and Brownstown, a lot of state championships come back to this area. But next year there's potential for that also. Jeffersonville's got to be preseason top five, at least, maybe, you know, maybe up at the very top coming into the season. Christian Academy has almost everybody back next year. I think Silver Creek's going to be really good next year. And then, you know, just I'm probably forgetting some teams, but there's going to be some opportunities for teams to be, you know, on the state level again next year, in my opinion.
Steve Kerberg, he's with us Thursdays. We talk local basketball, and we'll continue to do so in the offseason. I'm just getting ready to send out summer league information to all of the Southern Indiana and Metro Louisville area coaches. So we'll have games in the month of June and look forward to tracking things here through the offseason.
Oh, the summer event, you know, that you helped put on in the area is phenomenal. Way for fans to come out and pay a couple bucks and watch as many games as they want to watch in a day and get a preview for the upcoming season is a really cool thing for this area.
Yeah, going to be fun to follow that stuff here in the month of June. All right, Steve, as always, thanks for being with us. I'll ask you the same question I closed with Alex Bozich. Do you still have UConn alive in your bracket for the national championship on Monday?
Man, I have UConn and Purdue in the championship with Purdue winning it all. And I know I shouldn't say that on the Hoosier Report, but that was my pick from the beginning. I have to stick with it.
All right, good stuff. Steve Kerberg, Coach Kerberg, with us on Thursday's Coach. We'll catch up to you next week.
Have a great week, man.
All right, we'll head to, that's the end of the show. No need for a commercial break. Back with you Friday at 11 a.m. We'll get you set for the Final Four and get any kind of updates on IU basketball that we can headed into the weekend. Have a great Thursday. Chat tomorrow. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.